Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us. Come and learn with us. God is so good. We just cannot believe all the amazing things he has done for us, giving us such great gifts as today's The Patriot, Pastor Garrett Lear, to take some time out of their very busy schedule and join us and help us to learn. So I just want to, first of all, ask the listeners, please share the show. The program will be on podcast shortly after. It will be recorded and available after the program. So tell everyone, go to www.cityonhill.tv and share the program. And just want to go ahead and say hello to Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear. Hi, Pastor Lear.
I will have no other king but King Jesus. Good to be with you as always, Miss Diana, and in quoting scripture from Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and Jesus said to them all, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Lear. You always, bring us to really back to where we have to be, which is really, acknowledging God, and I'm just so grateful for that. I shall have no other king but King Jesus, and it's just really amazing because you have studied God's Word, and you want to share it with everybody because there is so much in it for all of us. It's just like a treasure that never ends, isn't it, Pastor Lear?
That's true, and I have read Scripture every single day without fail for well over 30 years or more. Actually, that's a long time. I've never gotten tired of reading God's Word. I've read it in about 18 different translations, read it through hundreds of times, and every time that I read it, including today, I learn something that I didn't learn before, which if there was anything that proves that the Bible is God's Word, it certainly is that. That every time we go to God's Word and I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, and he does. He teaches me, and the more that I look around and people say to me, well, how do you know the things that you know? Is it because you've been a great scholar over the years? I said, well, I've read thousands of books. That's true. Is it because you've been around, you're in your 65th year, you've been around a long time? Said, actually the reason I know anything I know is because the Holy Spirit has taught me through the Word of God. And I believe as Matthew 24:35 says, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will not pass away. So why do people who call themselves Christians think so little of God's word to us? It's everything we need to know about life and godliness. So why do they not spend more time studying these things? Because the enemy tries to blind their eyes and keep them from knowing what the truth is. Because as John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall make you free.
Indeed. Oh, and that is it. God wants the very best for us, and the enemy does not. And as long as he can keep us believing him, it will drive us away from the truth. Well, Pastor Lear, as always, we like to ask God to be over the conversation that other people will see what a difference the Lord makes. So if you don't mind, would you start us off there in prayer?
Well, Father, we do come boldly before your throne of grace, and we only do that not because we're prideful people or arrogant, because you've told us in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before my throne of grace in your time of need. And we do recognize that this is a great time of need. Probably every day is a great time of need, but more so as things go on, as your plan of salvation is being unfolded and the things that are happening throughout the world today. As you have told us, look up to whence your salvation cometh. Look up to the hills. And Lord, help us to see your design. And thank you for covering this broadcast, City on a Hill. We thank you, Lord, that you've told us in Scripture very plainly in that Sermon on the Mount that we should not hide our light under a bushel basket. So we're not hiding our light in any way, shape, or form. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding our conversation. We're not desiring to be hirelings. We're not desiring to please people. But we definitely, definitely want to please you, Lord, in what we say and do. And we thank you that people's hearts will be touched and open to you. And yes, in fact, we will have a great awakening in our country instead of a rude awakening. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Pastor Lear. I just want to mention something here. I'm looking at God's Word, Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And Pastor Lear, it seems like today there are so many voices out there speaking. And I know so many people feel like they're out there in the wilderness and they need help. But when you look at what they're hearing in the mainstream media, it is really hard to find that true voice that is really there as you were, speaking the truth.
Well, that's true, and that's a very good point. And, when people bring this up to me, how do you know? I've just come back from speaking over 4th of July and days around that in Nebraska and Iowa on Wednesday evening of the 4th of July. I was speaking in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and people asked me a very similar question to that. I said, well, first of all, I don't spend much time watching broadcast media. Most of what is called the news is more entertainment, although I don't find a lot of the news very entertaining. But the point is, if we do not go, first of all, to the Bible, it's a primary source document, so to speak. And then, for example, and when I spoke in Lincoln at the state capitol in Nebraska on the morning of 4th of July, I actually read from the Declaration. I read the entire Declaration of American Independence. People go around quoting all kind of sources. Well, this journalist said that, and this newspaper said that, and this TV program said that, or people that quote from the Discovery Channel or the History Channel. I said, that's not primary source documents. You've got to read for yourself. And when I finished reading the Declaration and the comments that I made, an 88-year-old or 89-year-old man came up to me. He said, I'm a World War II veteran. He said, I want to tell you something. I have never in all my years heard anybody read the Declaration of American Independence like you did today. And I said, that's tremendously uplifting to me. I said, but I've read it many times, and the reason why you're saying that is because I read it as if I wrote it, because I believe it. I believe every single word of it. When I read Scripture, people have told me they believe that they hear, you know, the voice of God when I read Scripture. I said, well, that's flattering, of course, being somebody that was trained early in life how to speak from my diaphragm and everything and have a certain register between baritone and bass. You know, you think, well, maybe it's just because I sound like a narrator. But the truth of the matter is, when I read these things and read them to people, I'm reading them as one who believes it. I'm not a paid performer. I'm not doing it because this is my occupation. It's my passion. It's my calling. And so many people are just repeating others without understanding what they're talking about. And, of course, you know, you can go to the pet store and you can buy a gray parrot or a cockatoo or several other different types of birds, and you can actually teach them to repeat things. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just repeating what they've been taught. And so my encouragement for all Americans, and particularly for Christians, is you better know what you're talking about. You better know what's going on out there, because there are so many voices. But Jesus did explain to us that in the end times, there would be many saying, I'm over here. I'm the Christ. I'm over here. Come and follow me over here. But he said, my sheep shall know the sound of my voice. And it's interesting. Are there any babies that don't know the sound of their mother's voice? For that matter, are there any mothers that don't know the sound of their baby's voice? It's amazing to me, and I've seen it happen many times. In a crowd of babies, in a crowd of people, a baby will start to cry, and a mother will recognize that cry. In fact, I've actually known of women who hear their baby cry who are in the nursing stage, and I'm being biological here, not just speaking vernacular, that they start to lactate when they hear their baby crying. Automatically, they start to lactate because they know the sound of their baby's voice. Well, can anyone say they're a Christian and they don't recognize the voice of Jesus? Well, if they don't, well, have you been spending much time with him? And a few weeks ago, in church service, we were worshiping, and I was actually leading some singing, and I immediately stopped the singing, and we went into complete silence. A lot of people can't handle that. Went into complete silence because a lot of people are used to having the television on, you know, the radio on, having their iPod, their iPhone, their smartphone, their computer, you know, all the stuff going on around them, and they can't take silence. And then I believe I spoke from the Holy Spirit, and I said this: the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. A little while later, one of the fellows in the service, who's kind of young in the Lord, he was recently water baptized. I recently water baptized him. He said, that's it. Now I understand. That's it. Now I understand. I said, what do you understand? He said, I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm in the Lord's presence. And I started to laugh, and I said, this is what everybody needs. You see, turn off all of this clutter and wait on the Lord and wait to hear his voice, and he will direct thy path. You know, Proverbs 3:5, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It goes actually in a very simple song. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Is that the song we're all singing today who are Christians? We should be. That's the song of the redeemed, one of them anyway. And so there are lots of voices out there, but we know that not all the people that are speaking and all the voices are true. Many of them aren't. Let God be true and every man a liar. So who are we seeking? You know, there are people, and when Jesus wept and later said, I perceive that they are like sheep without a shepherd. Sad case that we have.
It is, Pastor Lear. I mean, I'm so grateful for you, Pastor Lear, because you have never really strayed from your calling. And I just, it's really sad, of course, the state of the nation, because it's almost like the strong man has been bound with our pastors not feeling like they can cover all the topics, but really they should be free to cover. And October 7th, is Freedom Pulpit Sunday. I'm not looking at that. I'm just remembering that. I'm thinking it is October 7th that is sponsored by Alliance Defense Fund, where they're going to, you know, stand behind the pastors if anybody tries to sue them for saying things that are politically incorrect. But it means so much to have our pastors say the things that you have been saying all along. And, you know, it's really abide in him, the word says, and he will abide in you. And when you look at what everybody is watching on TV, well, it's really very hard to find anything worthy to watch these days. And we, half of the parents don't even know what their children are watching. We just assume that Disney is good, and not realizing that, you know, some of that stuff is really trash. But we've come a long way, because I know I've heard you, and I think Miss Barbara has said too, that, you know, back in the days when really we were considered one of the most literate nations, they heard sermons not just an hour, but really they heard sermons for long lengths of time, and they were getting wisdom from God, which is really the only place you can get wisdom from.
In colonial times, the preachers got up, and they would speak for 2 hours in the morning. They'd break for lunch. You know, people were coming from far and wide, and it was difficult coming in from the farms and out of the forest and whatever else. So they would come in, hear a sermon for 2 hours. And that's in the days where there was no air conditioning, was no heat. They actually allowed, here in colonial New England, they allowed you to bring your dog into the church building with you, the church house, because they would allow the dogs to sit at your feet and keep your feet warm, bring blankets, whatever. You hear preaching for 2 hours. If the preacher couldn't get up and preach from the Bible for 2 hours, they considered him, something's wrong in his life. There's something wrong with him. He must be sick, or he must be, you know, fallen in some way or whatever. They'd break and have a meal together, or like a koinonia, a real fellowship, Christian fellowship, come back right in and have another 2 hours. See, people look at that today. You want me to stay in church for over an hour, you know, and listen to preaching for what? You know, and I've said sometimes I like to have an hour to preach at least. What? We can't give you an hour. Maximum 20 minutes. 20 minutes is all you can endure of God's word. That's pretty sad, isn't it, in our fast-paced society? But the other issue is, of course, the sermons, most of them were printed. Most of the preachers printed them and wrote them out. And, of course, we have many of them, and I have quite a few hundreds and hundreds of them in our ministry archive. Our church has in our ministry archive of these sermons. And, Miss Diana, let me tell you, some terrific theology, some terrific preaching. During the War for American Independence, of course, the preaching by these unlicensed preachers who the King of England was wanting to put a bounty on their head. We call them the Black Robe Regiment, and we certainly need them today. And I have personally resurrected the Black Robe Regiment, and others have joined in trying to gather pastors together to tell them the pulpit is free to preach what the Bible says. It's not to be controlled by the government. It never was supposed to be controlled by the government, and especially in America not to be controlled by the government. Because if we don't maintain that city on the hill, if we don't maintain that moral high ground, who's going to preach it? Some politician that wants to get elected? No, they're not going to do it. some businessman that wants your money. And I had the joy there when I was in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and standing in front of the people and said, folks, I hope you can stand a dose of not politically correct. And everybody looked at me. I said, let me repeat myself. I hope you can stand a dose. I've been told I can speak for an hour and ask and open to questions afterwards. I hope that you can handle not politically correct, because I have no mandate to be politically correct. I'm not here running for office asking for your vote. I'm not here trying to sell you anything. So you're going to get preaching, unadulterated, not watered down, straight from the heart as the Lord has given it to me, and directly from his word. And so that's what we need. That's what sets the captive free. That's what breaks the bondage. It is terribly, for those that are hirelings or those that are not very courageous, and by the way, the more that you move, I believe, in the light of the Lord, what the Lord's shown you to do, the more light and strength he gives you. Many are not very courageous because they've never taken one courageous move in their lives. They've seen themselves as hirelings. And so as hirelings, they've got to do what their boss tells them to do. Well, I only have one boss in this life, and his name is Jesus Christ. I owe my allegiance to him. And see, I come from a background where I didn't really know the Lord as my Savior. I had religion in my life, you know, as so many Americans would do. And by the way, religion and Christianity are not synonymous with one another. You know, and so I didn't have true biblical Christianity until a little bit later in life. So I know what it is to be lukewarm. But I'll tell you, it just stood the hair up on my head the first time I ever read in Revelation chapter 3 that the Lord wist that I were hot or cold, because if I wasn't going to be that, that he would spew me out of his mouth. I said, I don't want to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. So we need, in the Pulpit Freedom Sunday that you're talking about, I've been on board with that in a sense every time I preach for years. And I've been at it for a long, long time. But then when this came around and the Alliance Defense Fund and Alan Sears and others said we need to encourage pastors. Do you know that in the first year, and I believe if I'm remembering correctly, we might be in the fourth or fifth year of this Pulpit Freedom Sunday. In the first year, they couldn't even find 100 pastors in America to sign up for it. Not even 100 pastors. I said, that's disgusting. I cut to the chase. I use some provocative language, you know, that some people consider to be verbally abusive. Excuse me. It is disgusting that in America, a country like this, could only find 100 pastors, preachers, that would sign up for that. Well, the good news was in the second year, I think there was 150. In the third year, there was 200. I still said that's disgusting. We have some 33,000 churches or more in America. We ought to at least be able to come up with 1,000 or 7,000 haven't bowed their knee, and maybe we have that many. But it is definitely a time where the leaders in the church, the pastors, the preachers, the elders, need to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and I will not back down to any magistrate. I will follow the law as long as the law follows the law of God. But I am not obligated in this country, or any country from my perspective, to obey anything that is ungodly, nor in this country, particularly in America, that our supreme law of the land is really the Bible and the Constitution, that's unconstitutional. See? What would our founding fathers say? You have the freedom to preach whatever that you believe according to the strongly held Christian conviction. See? And we need that again. And I'm working overtime. This morning I had a conversation with a pastor, young pastor in Atlanta, encouraging him. I am recruiting for the Black Robe Regiment in this country right now, the Black Robe Regiment of the 21st century, and teaching them, when you stand in that pulpit, you better have the passion of God's of life in you, and that you're going to say, thus saith the Lord, this is the word of God. And incidentally, as I told people there in Lincoln, Nebraska, I asked them all, they were sitting, and I asked them all, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And I said, by the way, most of you are very friendly out there. We've got legislators, we've got pastors, we've got Christians, we've got veterans. But I want you to know, I asked people at the State House, any State House I speak, to stand up. I asked when I spoke at a Tea Party where half the people there were the American Atheist Association. I asked them to stand up. And when I spoke on Boston Common April 16, 2012, and Occupy Boston was there, and they're sitting all around there picketing me, I said, get to your feet and stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. So I just told, it isn't just Christians that I say this to. I say it to everybody because it's God's Word, whether they believe it's God's Word or it isn't. See?
Well, Pastor Lear, you know, I just think to myself, too, there's an awful lot of people that are really sounding very hopeless these days. They're out of work, and no matter how hard they try, it just seems like, you know, all they see in front of them is a dismal future. But we know where our hope comes from, and really when, you know, when I think of you, I'm reminded of what the founders had to do, which is really to persevere, keep on, and fight. And their greatest weapon was their faith. And I think that's something that we need to remember today.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is a very special word that you're delivering right there, and I've got a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, when I went through quite an ordeal to get from New Hampshire to Omaha, Nebraska, to speak for 4th of July. In fact, it was looking very bad that I wasn't even going to make it, with bad weather and airplane problems and pilot problems and all manner of things, traffic and whatever. I got there to Omaha, Nebraska at just about midnight, so in other words, just about the beginning of 4th of July. And traveling all the day, and it was very difficult. My bags didn't arrive. Now, they were expecting me to appear to preach wearing my Patriot Pastor uniform, my Black Robe Regiment uniform. Well, all I had with me was the clothes on my back. Now, I am from the old generation where we never got on a train, a plane, a bus, or anything, except that we were wearing decent clothes. You know, we didn't get on there with flip-flops and, you know, a tank top and a pair of cut-off shorts, which thanks be to God that I didn't, because all I had was the clothes on my back. Well, I had to come that morning to speak at 9:30, and I didn't have anything. I slept for a few hours, took off all my clothes, got in the shower, took a shower, and put the same clothes back on, which anyone that knows the Patriot Pastor knows that I'm not too keen on that. I like to have clean clothes very frequently and certainly within 24 hours. I like to be spit-shined and polished. That's just kind of my military ethic from way back. Well, I don't have that, and I'm saying, Lord, what am I going to tell the people? They're all turning out expecting to see me in the Patriot Pastor uniform. He said, this is what you tell them. They don't even understand the deprivation that the early New Testament church went through and stood their ground. They don't understand the deprivation of the people who fought and died for that declaration that you're going to be reading today. And I said, Lord, I'll tell the people that. And the people were moved by it, you know, to recognize. I said, folks, here in America, we complain because somehow we missed dinner. You know, we're starving because we didn't have dinner. No, people in the early New Testament church, sometimes they went without food, they were persecuted, and they went through tremendous deprivation, but yet they didn't lose their faith. Same thing for the war for American independence. George Washington had to send a note to Congress saying, I'm up here against 25,000 British regulars in full accoutrement, and all I have is boys and old men for an army. Do you think you're going to send me an army sometime soon? We're talking about deprivation, see? We in America don't know what that is, not anymore. And so it was very meaningful to explain that to them, and I was very touched by it myself, to say, folks, we have definitely been greatly blessed by the Lord, but there are people amongst us that they have wanted to take the B out of God Bless America and turn this into Godless America. Instead of God Bless America, Godless America. I said, not on my watch will this happen. I will be willing to fight. I will be willing to die. I will be willing to live or die at the Lord's choosing to stand up for these things that are true. And the Lord gives you that kind of bravura. He gives you that kind of courage. He gives you that kind of chutzpah if you're willing to take a stand. And I said, you know what? We are the posterity of those of the early New Testament church. We are the posterity of those founders of this country, or the Mayflower people, who I'm a descendant of. And a few weeks ago, I just did a documentary down there, which I'll be sending to you soon, Miss Diana, and hope we can get it out there, to explain simple salt-of-the-earth Christians chose to die rather than to go back to England, and they started this country. Now, all of us face the issue of failure. I've failed at a lot of things, but I've not been fallen. I failed, but I haven't been fallen. And see, the people that you mentioned about going into depression and feeling like there's no hope and whatever, as long as Jesus Christ is on the throne, and yesterday when I went to the auto parts store doing a little work on my Jeep, fellow said, "How you doing? How you doing, Pastor?" I said, "I'm always doing well. I can't do anything but well." He said, "Well, why is that?" I said, "Because Jesus Christ is on his throne. As long as he's on his throne, I'll be fine. And he's on his throne. It's his throne, and he'll be on it forever. So as long as that's happening, I'm fine." So folks that are listening to this broadcast, maybe you have failed. No, I shouldn't say maybe. I don't have to be a prophet to tell you you have failed. I've failed. He's failed. She's failed. We've all failed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just because you've failed doesn't mean you're fallen. You're only fallen when you lose faith and you lose hope. And you can be sure whatever Jesus promised that he will do, he will do. Whatever he's promised that he would do, he's already done that. So you may have failed, but don't be fallen. And when you look at, for example, Luke chapter 18, Jesus exhorted those Pharisees saying, you know, you've got all this external stuff about you, but internally, you don't understand. Here's this publican. He's failed. He knows he's failed. He admits that he's failed. And because he has admitted that he's failed, he's not fallen. He still has hope, just like the two criminals on the cross and so forth and so on. So it should be an encouraging time for people, not a discouraging one. Okay, maybe the economy is bad. No, maybe it is bad. And I see all the ramifications of it everywhere that I go. You'd have to be in denial. You know, the average person is in difficult straits. We may be failing in certain things, but we are not fallen unless we give up our hope and our faith. And, of course, what do we know about faith? We know that faith without works is dead. And so and many people came up and commended me there at Lincoln saying, "Well, you must have been very upset with the airlines losing your bags and that you couldn't have your clothes." And I said, "You know what? I wasn't." I started to laugh and said, "Well, I don't know whether this is the Lord's doing just yet. I have to wait and find out. I'm not going to rush to judgment or whether the enemy was trying to thwart me. But the good news is this. I'm standing here at my post when I was supposed to be at my post. I was not late, and I've got clothes on my back. Thanks be to God. I didn't have to come here in cut-off shorts, which would be embarrassing to me. Not that I'm against cut-off shorts, but standing in front of a large group of people like that would be a little embarrassing to me at my age. Hey, it's a good day. It's a good day to serve the Lord. Every day is a good day to serve the Lord."
Wow. Pastor Lear, God, God is so good. Because the message you brought is a lot more important, of course, than anything outside appearance. And I know that those people, you know, it's like a domino effect. The word that you said, which you said with faith, has to produce. You know, it's like that seed that's been planted, and I'm sure it was planted on good ground because they came there expecting to hear, and I believe they heard something that's going to move them and have probably already moved them. My goodness, I know you did that for us, and you're doing that everywhere you go. So what an opportunity. But at the same time, you know, for you to be able to give that message, you know, that, you know, you're at your post. It doesn't matter. And I remember many years ago before we started this show, you know, having a little prayer group. And sometimes there were days when it was just me. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm here and you're there, so I'm okay. And it was a teaching process. He was teaching me that, you know, it's not about pleasing others. It's being where he wants me to be because he's there. He's there. And so what a humbling that is. And it's really good for this time because a lot of people almost feel probably like, you know, I'm alone in this. But they're not. You know, God makes a way, and you stood. And that's what they have to do, too. That's what you just shared, is we have to stand. And so I just thank God for that little reminder from him that you're now able to share with the rest of us. We have to stand. Unfortunately, you know, Pastor Lear, there's a lot of times that we get caught up in materialistic things that we think, oh, I can't do this because so-and-so is just not right. You know, I can't do this for the Lord because this is not present. And I'm thinking to myself, sometimes I think we cut ourselves out from the blessing of that obedience.
Well, you know, the thing is, when Jesus said to his disciples when he was in the back of the boat and the storm came up and he was asleep, and they said, aren't you concerned that we're about to perish, that this boat's going to capsize and we're all going to drown? And he said, oh, you of little faith, have I been with you this long? And, you know, Peter walking on the water and so forth. See, I read the Bible as God's love letter to me. I know it's to everybody, but I read it personally. He's talking to Garrett. Garrett, I'm talking to you. Pay attention to this. And see, over the years, you know, I've seen people go out, they go to Bible college, they go to seminary, then they go get this, you know, get an MDiv or get a Doctor of Ministry degree, and then, you know, they're going to get out and they're going to minister and so forth, and yet they have no power. They have no anointing. I've seen people that made a fortune in the dot-com business or something like that and decided, well, you know, I've been successful in business now. I think I'll toy with religion or I'll toy with being in ministry and have a Christian ministry. And I look at them and say, you know what? You haven't been through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so you have not been through the refiner's fire. You've not been like clay on the potter's wheel. And so you don't have that anointing. The anointing cannot be bought. Fresh fire, fresh anointing cannot be bought. No hireling will ever have it. See, the issue of when we're told in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, four times, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. We're told about being mighty men of valor and so forth. Well, how can you be a mighty man of valor if you've been boxing with shadows, if you've been sword fighting with shadows? It's when you've actually been out there in the real time, in the real world, and, you know, you've had scars. People have looked at my, you know, my body in different places and said, wow, you get a lot of scars. I said, I'm a soldier. I've been a frontline soldier, a soldier of the Lord in the battles in this war. And I said, I've lost some body parts. I've had some scars and so forth, and I laugh it off. Recently, I went into the local doctor. I had something that needed to be stitched up. He stitched me up. He gave me one little jolt of Novocaine, which didn't even pierce my skin, literally, and stitched me up. And the nurse stood there and was grimacing, saying, how can you take that pain? I said, oh, with me? I said, I've got lots of experience in that. You know, pain with no pain, there's no gain. Well, there's pain in standing in faith. But it's a pain, and it's a price I'm willing to pay. Because the Lord strengthens us through it. And, you know, I come from that background of lifting weights to develop strength and so forth. You don't build muscles watching somebody else pump iron. And you don't build faith in serving the Lord by watching somebody else serve the Lord. You just get an idea from that, but you've got to do it yourself. You've got to get out there and experience that. And so, to me, these great opportunities, it is a tremendous honor. If I've been able to encourage anybody, if I've been able to share, I deserve nothing. What I deserve is to die and go to hell because of the life that I led before I knew Christ as my Savior, that he's forgiven me, and he gave me a calling as a child. And now I'm following that calling, and I'm sorry that I didn't follow it earlier in my life. Got no excuses. I can't blame anyone else. I'm just blame it on me, blame it on sin, blame it on the devil, blame it on the world. But I'm thankful that he has given me the opportunity, and it's been great. People have said to me, well, we don't know, Pastor, how many people are going to show up. And I said, don't worry about it. Don't fret yourself about it. I said, I'll come, and I will speak for one. I'll fly across the country for one person. I said, you do your best to get people out, because I'm not going to tell you that I would be upset or somehow ill-prepared if you brought me in and there was a stadium full of people with 100,000. I can do very well there, too. But I don't set those kind of standards. I'm just honored to serve. And then they said, but we don't know if there's going to be any money, and we don't know if there'll be any money in the offering. I said, look, you do your best. We trust the Lord for it. I'm not a hireling. I don't, you know, when they ask, well, how much is it going to cost us to get you here? I said, well, let's talk about it. Is there any budget to pay for airfare or any of this other kind of stuff? We'll talk about it. It's not about money. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a businessman. I'm a preacher. I want every opportunity I can to preach. And incidentally, on the way out to Omaha, I had a great opportunity from Baltimore, Maryland to Chicago to talk with a man that, I mean, just it's like the glow of the Lord was upon this man, and I knew I had to talk to him about the Lord. And so I said, excuse me, I know this will sound a little strange, but my name's Garrett Lear. They call me the Patriot Pastor. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I just am strongly led to talk to you about Jesus. Do you know what I mean? This guy looks at me and says, well, you know, actually, I haven't walked with the Lord for years, but when I was a boy growing up, I actually considered going to the seminary. And so we spent the rest of the time from Baltimore to Chicago, about a two-hour flight, talking about the Lord. Then we got to talking about 4th of July. I gave him some Christian literature. I prayed with him. And then I also said to him, by the way, you're going to read the Declaration of American Independence tomorrow at your picnic? He said, we've never done that. I said, well, please, would you honor me and honor this country and those who went before by reading it? And I handed him that little booklet that I distribute called the Citizen Rule Book that has the Declaration. And he said, yes, I will. So you see the opportunities. People are telling me, nobody wants to hear about Jesus. What do you mean they don't want to hear about Jesus? I talk to people about Jesus every day. Every day, 7 days a week. See? What they don't want to hear about is our complaints, our griping. What they don't want to hear about is turning the church into a house of merchandise instead of a house of prayer. That kind of stuff. I don't think they want to hear about that. And so the great opportunities that we have right now cannot be passed on except for people looking for an excuse. I'm not looking for an excuse to retire. I'm only asking the Lord to keep me going and keep me refired. Fresh oil, fresh anointing. Because I've got a mission. I'm on a mission.
You're on a mission.
We all are.
We're thankful for that, Pastor Lear. We're almost out of time, and I just want to ask you, Pastor, July 4th is almost, you know, it's just really last week. So would you mind talking a little bit, sharing with us some of the things that you said in Nebraska about the Declaration?
Sure. Well, first of all, many people don't realize that those signers, and I call it 57 signers, some people say 56, but I consider Robert Livingston, who was on the Committee of Five, that he was one of the signers, although he didn't get his name. Robert Livingston from New York didn't get his name on the document, just the way that Thomas Jefferson didn't get his name on the document either, because he was our ambassador in France, so he wasn't there for the signing of it. But these signers, and there were many others who would have been signers, the ones that signed it were representatives. And I can tell you, in the words of John Witherspoon, the Declaration in no way, shape, or form denigrates Christianity. It is a Christian document. It comes from biblical truth. It comes from English common law, like at the Magna Carta, Plains of Runnymede, 1215, with King John. And that there never in the history of the world, and I'm not talking about in the order of the Bible, but never has there been a document that has contained that we have certain inalienable rights that we have been endowed by our Creator. And amongst these, not exclusively these, but amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And by the way, for all the people out there as listeners saying, well, the pursuit of happiness, that means like the French Enlightenment, and no, it does not. Let me tell you that everyone that signed that document would not have signed it if they thought that represented French Enlightenment. It simply meant that we need to be free to worship God in spirit and truth according to the convictions of our hearts, according to what the Lord has done for us. And by the way, I told them, I said, atheists have no part and parcel in this. Muslims have no part and parcel in this. Buddhists, Hindus, whatever. Because this document is in no way, shape, or form compatible with any of their beliefs. You see? And the fact is that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable what? Rights. The government gives us no rights. The government is supposed to be formed to ensure and protect those rights. And that's what's in the document. And then, of course, it also shows the affability of those that signed it, said, we didn't want to do this. We have petitioned for redress of grievance time and time again. And King George III, a divine right monarch who thought he was God himself on earth, decided to send mercenaries against us to incite peaceful Indians to fight against us and to do terrible, barbarous things, and they did. Not all. Many Indian tribes in America sided with the colonial patriots. Some went and worked for the British and so forth and were merciless. And by the way, at that time, more people, about 12,000, 13,000, died on the prison ship Jersey than died in combat. And, of course, at the end of it, when they said, we want the world to know why we're doing this. See, it wasn't like, this is just between us and Britain. They realized this was for the cause of liberty and freedom for mankind all over the world. That's why many other countries had been so curious and wanted to know what this was about. That document is precious. And not precious because it's worth something, the paper, if you were able to buy it at auction, it would be worth, I don't know what they could evaluate it for. It's not worth anything that way. It's what it means and what says on there. And as John Witherspoon said in People Naysaying It, he said, if we thought in any way, shape, or form that signing this document would denigrate true biblical Christianity in any way, we would never do it, and we would have stopped this revolution in its tracks for all those people that think the war for American independence was not godly, was not Christian, or whatever else. On Lexington Green, and what was it that they were fighting for? Lexington Green was for the principles that hadn't even been codified in that document yet, but the war for American independence was fought in defense of that declaration. And by the way, you can't have a constitution in the United States without that declaration. They go hand in hand. Some people say, well, yeah, you know, I don't believe in the declaration. I just believe in the constitution. Well, there would be no constitution without that declaration. There would be no free, independent constitutional republic without that declaration. And then when they said, this is what we're going to pledge, our lives, our treasures, and our sacred honor. Well, I am honored and blessed to do the same thing today. And when people pledge their treasure, some of those people were very wealthy, like John Hancock. Some of them didn't have two nickels to rub together. But they all pledged everything they had and were willing to have their good reputations ruined and so forth. And they were presenting this to the world, looking to the world and only secondarily. First of all, they were saying, we look to divine providence to judge us, and if our cause is right. And why do we know that the Lord was on the side of the colonies? And I know this will sound a little strange. We know that because we won, because we signed the declaration, or excuse me, signed the peace treaty of Paris in 1783. We won. Great Britain did not win. We won because of the hand of Almighty God, the God of the Bible, was upon us because we were on his side. He wants liberty and freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17, in the presence of the Lord there is liberty. I am absolutely sure of that. And let me tell you, all the people that are breaking into this country, crossing our borders, I shouldn't say all of them, quite a few of them, and those that have come in previous generations, looking for what that declaration talks about. That you can eat the bread that you've earned with your own two hands, and that God will be the judge, that God will look after these things. So when people tell me there's no basis for saying that America is a Christian nation or that we should expect Christianity to have freedom in America, that is such a lie from hell. I can't believe anybody with any intelligence would believe it. But many people, unfortunately, do believe it because they've never read that declaration. It is an anointed document. And by the way, as the prelude to the program says, only one mention was about money. Lots of other things were mentioned, and I want to draw to everyone's attention here in these fleeting moments that we have. One of the things I drew to their attention there was this, that look at what the situation was at the time of the signing of that declaration in 1776, what we were facing, what we had faced actually as far back as probably 1740 in the colonies, and look at the condition of America today. Many of the things that our government is doing to us now are the things that King George III was doing to us. The government has no right, has no authority, has no jurisdiction to tell people how to worship God or make a state church or any of those kind of things to take away people's liberty. Governments are instituted among men for what purpose? Stated in the Declaration, to ensure the rights that we have been endowed by our Creator. See? And so we need to recognize the fact of what ground we stand on. You know, years ago when the Tea Party started, I've spoken at hundreds of them across the country. One person in a newspaper agency kept claiming I was the leader of the Tea Party movement. I said, I'm not the leader of the Tea Party movement. There is no leader of the Tea Party movement. It's a grassroots movement of people standing up to state what has already been stated by our founding fathers so that we can have that great awakening and that restoration and that renewal. If we want revival and we want America to be what America is supposed to be, then we need to follow the same pattern that they did, which is, first of all, openly petitioning God Almighty. And that's what they did in the Declaration for their intentions. They basically said, Lord, judge us. Judge our intentions. If we're right, let us win. If we're wrong, put us down. That's basically what it says there. And, of course, the issue of judges and star chambers and whatever else, why we have the four branches of government. And, by the way, before somebody thinks I'm making a mistake, there are four branches of government: executive, legislative, judicial, and the people. That's why in the preamble to the Constitution it says, we the people, you see. And in the 10th Amendment, which is not the state's rights, people make that mistake. I'm correcting people all the time, and I'm old enough and big enough to do it. It's not state's rights. It's called the enumerated powers. And in those enumerated powers says what the federal government or the national government can do, says what the states can do, and says what the people can do and what the people are supposed to do. And by the way, our Declaration says when any time government is against these rights that have been endowed by a Creator or is not willing to ensure those rights and protect those rights, then it is not only of necessity, but it is the obligation to reform that government or to remove it and replace it. And that is something that a lot of people just don't seem to want to face up to today. And as we are going into an election cycle, and I am deeply disturbed that the man who occupies the White House, and I'm fain to call him President of the United States, I could not call him President of the United States. I cannot. I will not. He may call himself that and other people, man, but I can't. The man has misquoted the Declaration of American Independence 7 times. He couldn't have done that accidentally. He did it on purpose. He has gone and pointed out to the Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan, did you know that my middle name is Hussein? He denigrates the White House, and he denigrates all those who went before him. If George Washington was alive, and as long as I'm alive, George Washington's alive. As long as I'm alive, so's John Adams and all the rest of them. They're still alive. Because I'd say this, sir, I don't know where you came from, but you have been created by the same Creator that I have. You've been given certain unalienable rights by our Creator. You have misused your position because you will not quote the Declaration properly and as it states it. And when you quote it, and I always tell people I do not recite it from memory to everybody. I want them to know I'm reading it word for word. And I have a lot of it memorized, and I probably could do it from memory, but I don't. I read it to tell people these are not my words, these are the words of our founders. And if you want to see this country renewed, then let's go by the original intent, let's go by the original vision, and anybody we want as president should be proud of our flag and not try to cover it up, and should be proud of our Christian heritage and not try to cover the cross of Christ up either, or be ashamed of the gospel, or think that that it's a good thing for them not to be very partial towards Christ. And by the way, I think as president, nobody should be partial to one denomination of Christianity or another, but they definitely should be partial to Christ and God's word, because that's our foundation. And we wouldn't be America without it.
Oh, yes, and it's been a blessing for all the world to see who is the God of America, Jehovah. And we want to continue to shine that light, Pastor Lear, and you continue to do that, and we are so grateful because a lot of people still do not realize the truth in that. And I love what the Bible says, there's nothing greater than our name being written in heaven. Jesus had said that. You know, they were looking for miracles, but that was the greatest thing of all. So I pray that many more will come to know him as you know him and as I know him, our Lord and our Savior. And we're fixing to close, Pastor Lear. I could go on. I just love hearing you teach us and remind us of our heritage. But also, I just want to thank God for his word again, which is a lamp unto our feet. And you are
a light unto our path.
Yes, a light unto our path. And as you know, I was quoting the beginning, on Mark 1, John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And you do that, Pastor Lear. You do that, sometimes I know it seems like you're the lone voice, but you know that he's right there with you, and we're so grateful for that because to those people that have paid attention, and we're hoping that these that are going to be listening to the podcast will hear that. You know, you do this out of love because eternity is at stake, and the founding fathers were so sure of their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness. They staked a whole country on it. and it was not an easy thing, as you have reminded us. It was not easy. Life is not easy if you're one of those struggling to feed your family or struggling to keep your family together in these times. It is not easy. But we can thank God because he is there, and he said he will never leave us or forsake us. So in closing, Pastor Lear, would you give out that message of hope for those that do not yet know Jesus Christ as we do?
As Governor Bradford of the Plymouth Colony said, thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled hath shown unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation, let the glorious name of Jehovah have all praise. Father, we thank you that we do not have to rely on ourselves. It's not by the arm of flesh that we're delivered. You sent us, Jesus Christ, your beloved only Son, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and went through the horrible scourging and beating to go to the cross, because you knew that we couldn't do it without you. You knew that we would fail. But yet you came and showed us, though we might have failed and fail in many things, and though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we do not have to be fallen. For as we submit ourselves to you, you will raise us up. And we thank you that you have also given us the power over the enemy of death and sin, and you have said, submit yourself therefore to God, to me. As you have said, Jesus, submit yourself to me as your Lord Jesus, and I will give you power over the enemy. You will rebuke him, and he will flee from you. I thank you for the listeners out there, that none of us desire to be anything more than the salt of the earth. None of us desire to be anything more than you've asked us to be your witnesses. And we thank you for that, and that for anyone out there listening to this broadcast who has not had the joy, the true unmitigated joy of knowing you as Lord and Savior, and knowing that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because they're so good and not because of their own righteousness, but because of your goodness, because of your righteousness, because we didn't send our love up to you, you sent your love down to us. And that before we even knew you, you loved us. You proved your love, as you said on the cross, it is finished. And you also said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So we thank you, Lord, and we do pray that America would continue in your blessing, and that nobody would have the freedom to remove the B from God Bless America and turn us into God Less America, not on my watch, not on Miss Diana's watch, and not on the watch of all of our listeners to City on the Hill broadcast, or for any of the true Christians in this country, not on our watch. This is our pledge and our prayer that salvation is of the Lord. The Lamb's Book of Life can only be written in blood, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and we cannot write our own names in there, Lord. Only you can do that. You know, because you search our hearts. And we praise you. We thank you. In that joyous name that we love to say with our mouths, that makes devils shriek, but pleases you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Pastor Lear. Well, Pastor Lear, we want people to go to your website, so if you don't mind, share your website.
Well, we have three websites, but you can. I'll give you one right now that's pretty easy to find. It's thewelloflivingwater.com, thewelloflivingwater.com, and there you can find our other websites like patriotpastor.org and freechurchministry.net. So thewelloflivingwater.com, www.thewelloflivingwater.com, and I'm always pleased to hear from any of our listeners, any questions that they have, any comments that they have, I will endeavor to answer you as soon as I can.
Well, thank you, Pastor Lear, and may God bless you, sir. And we're so grateful for those who invite you to come to their states so that you could be heard, the message of truth that you share. So we pray, listeners, if you're interested, please be sure to contact the Patriot Pastor Lear and let him come to your state, because I think just about every state, you've almost covered almost every state, haven't you, Pastor Lear?
I have spoken in all 50 states. I've spoken in all the provinces of Canada with the exception of Labrador and Northwest Territories.
Wow. Amen.
In some parts of Europe as well. But I've covered every single state. I only have a couple of states that I haven't actually been right at the state capitol and spoke at the state capitol. But I've spoken in every state in this wonderful republic of ours, from sea to shining sea, from glory to glory in all 50 states. And, yeah, are you impressed? I know there are only 50 states.
Well, God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Lear. May God shine his face upon you. And we thank the listeners for tuning in. And please share the podcast and do contact him so that, you know, more will hear the truth that he so willingly shares. Thank you, and may God bless America. Goodbye.